Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me. Press 1, and that puts you in talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Well, perhaps Michael's not with us. So I will begin by saying you can go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And from there, the easiest place to start if you're new to this work is there's a big bullseye right in the middle of the page. And if you click... do the forgiveness work. I hear you with us now. The next link is a link to the forgiveness worksheets, and there's several different versions, several different lengths, simple, long, different forms. And then the third link is to MP3s, where we've actually walked somebody through doing the worksheets. And so, Michael, let's welcome you to the show. We already have Dr. Tim with us, and we also have three hands up. So I'll turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like things are rock and roll. And with three hands up, who knows how many questions we have. So why don't we just go right to our saying hello to Dr. Tim and then our callers and see where it goes from there. Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
And awesome. What's exciting in your world?
Well, I'll just briefly give a report about our group last night. We had a wonderful Mind Shifter support group, and we introduced a little bit of the Plato's Cave allegory and the idea behind that, and how if we really step into a growing awareness of things other than what our physical perception is going to try and make us believe, and we strengthen our ability to tune into those things, it really is going to make it easier for the worksheet process to have a deeper and deeper effect in our lives, because then we realize at deeper and deeper levels that we're creating our own realities. And if we create one that leaves us feeling anger, fear, sadness, pain, or hurt, here's a tool that can step us right into dismantling that reality and feeling more loving. And it was a wonderful group of people, loving energy, wonderful release process, and I'm ready for some callers. If they're here and they're ready to ask questions, I say we should go to them.
Awesome.
Awesome. Sounds like a good idea. We are actually in Panama City, Florida, and last night we did a Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment workshop here, and we have a young man who was there at the workshop who's made a commitment to start a support group here in Panama City, so we're going to have
one more support group along the road, working with people who are about utilizing these tools, and so that's pretty awesome. We've actually got one more workshop with it being, you know, so close to Christmas. We just scheduled originally a 3-day series, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and we added tonight we're going to do a lesson from Course in Miracles called What is the World? What I consider to be one of the most important and most misunderstood lessons from the Course. So that's what we'll be doing tonight. If anybody's in Panama City, come and join us at Unity. On Sunday, we'll be doing the Sunday lesson at the service at 11 o'clock, and we'll be doing Living, Not Saying the Lord's Prayer. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll be doing the candle lighting service at Unity. So all those events are on flyers on our website. And we haven't added the additional. We actually just last night, about 7:30, confirmed that we're going to do an additional Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So that flyer we'll be creating and getting on the website. So anybody wants to join us next Tuesday night. So the night before Christmas Eve, there's actually a woman here named Darcy who has a meditation group she's been running for about 30 years. And based on the work of a gentleman named Jim Gore, who started a light center in North Carolina. And way back, 35 years ago, I used to go up and visit and spend time with Jim Gore at his home just about every weekend for almost a year. And so I spent a lot of time with Jim. He used to teach in their light center up there. And so Darcy, having worked there, has been doing a Jim Gore meditation process every week for the last 30 years. And so she checked out her group last night. It meets every Tuesday and has been doing so literally for 30 years. And so she checked with them last night. How many are committed to coming next Tuesday, 2 days before Christmas? And most everybody in the group said yes, so we went ahead and scheduled it. And so you can check the website for a flyer. We'll probably be up later today. And that will give you the directions for next Tuesday evening. So if you're in Palm Coast, or pardon me, not Palm Coast, but Panama City, come and play with us. And so you can check out everything else we're doing on the road, but let's go to our first caller. Jeannie, you got somebody with a hand up.
We do. And the first one is area code 816. You're on the air.
Well, howdy. This is Magda using Chuck's phone.
Hey, Magda.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you?
Hello.
We were talking about you last night in the workshop.
Really? Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Well, your name was brought in with a blessing and giving us the gift of the second radio show in the links that people can download to listen to Magda as she goes into her Hydra worksheet. And out of one worksheet comes up with, if I remember correctly, it was 14. And so you were being admired for that last night as I shared that with everybody.
That was a phenomenal experience, and I learned so much about Hydras doing that with you on the show. That was just incredible. Yeah, it's been a great learning experience that I've continued to use. So we are on the road right now, so I hope that our connection stays. We're headed toward Kansas City, and we take off for Hawaii tomorrow. And I have a question that came up at our support group last night.
Oh, cool. Let's go for it.
Yeah, we were watching the second part of Healing Through Relationships DVD, and we got to the place where you were talking about the Pagra, and a question came up afterwards about the definition of a Pagra was one question, and another question was about whether or not the Pagra exists between everyone. In other words, even if it isn't someone we have an in-depth, committed relationship with, do we have a Pagra, for instance, with the person on the other side of the counter when we're checking out our groceries? Do we have a Pagra with the cashier, for instance? So is it automatic? Or is it intentional? Does the Pagra have to be something intentional that people make a commitment to? I think that kind of covers the gamut. I'm looking at Chuck, and he's shaking his head yes. So there's the many layers of the question.
Well, my take would be that it ties in where Yeshua speaks of it. Yeshua talks about when two or more are gathered. And I think what it, my understanding of it from the Aramaic would be that when two are gathered in a common purpose, there's another level of energy that's there. And so the word pogra, for those who are new to this idea of the show, represents in Aramaic a third entity formed when two people join. And so, for instance, when the support group comes together and there are two or 20 people there, then there is a pogra, there is an energy there that supports everybody in the group that's more than the individual themselves has. And, you know, we talk often about holding the space. And so my take would be that anybody who's in that space and holding the space of love is forming a pogra. And I think that when we use that in the Healing Through Relationships workshop, that idea, we're inviting people to focus in and to consciously, purposely form a personal code for their pogra. And so in the Healing Through Relationship context, for instance, if 20 people come together in a support group every week, they are forming a literal energy potential, and the guidelines of the support group and the, you know, for instance, a commitment, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect, would be the personal code of that particular pogra. And that in the context of relationship, when something different comes up in my mind, so I'm sitting in the support group or I'm sitting in my marriage and I have a commitment, I've chosen to move to a higher way of functioning than what my mind normally does, I'm sitting in the support group and up comes my rage. I yield my mind's rage and my personal code that says I'm going to rage here to the mind of the pogra and the personal code of the pogra. And so I'm going to breathe. I'm going to do all the things that the higher personal code says. So the commitment of I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, my words, my actions, whether in your presence or not. So that would be the personal code of the pogra in the support group. So instead of getting up and raging at somebody, I'm going to take breath. I'm going to choose to heal the part of me that wants to rage or whatever it is I want to do, my own internal personal code, and yield to the higher personal code. So the short answer would be that I think any two people who join in a given purpose are forming a pogra. The more conscious it is and the more consciously two people or more join in creating a way of functioning within that pogra, then the more powerfully it moves forward. And just as an aside, you know, a lot of people have kind of dissed and laughed at the ancient idea, and it sometimes happens yet today, of annulling a marriage. And actually, when the ancient church looked into the idea of annulment, they take a lot of information. I mean, it's a very deep inquiry. And the idea was to determine whether or not there was actually a pogra formed. And if there wasn't, then there was no marriage. And therefore, it will be annulled. So there was something genuine behind it, and that's kind of been lost. When you lose the Aramaic subtleties, it becomes something that it was not designed to be. Does that fit with your question?
I think so. I think what I heard was that it is not an automatic arrangement or an automatic energy between every person we interact with. It has to be intentional, and you have to make a dedication to a certain purpose. Would that be right?
Well, and that dedication may be something relatively casual in joining in a higher purpose, but the more conscious it becomes, then the more, or the the more deeply the Pagra would have its influence in existence. Again, it's a third entity form when two people join.
Right. Okay, so another question came to me, just remembering, and that was...
Yes?
When we use the responsibility communication tool, and if we choose, you know, way at the end of that tool, the very last thing that one would do, if they choose to, is the problem solving, and that would be after the healing
right.
is completed. When we're working on, if we choose to do the problem solving, are we then working on together on creating a new, more improved part of the personal code, the Pagra's personal code? Because the reason the reason we have the necessity to do responsibility communication is because there is often a difference between the two people involved in their own personal codes. There's a conflict between personal codes of each of those people. So when we get to the bottom and do the problem solving, are we then working on personal code of Pagra? That's it.
Yes. My take would be yes, you would be working on that.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the first time I've seen that link. And, you know,
and so, so let's say, you know, the example that you've heard me use before that I usually use with that is the, when we do the communication, did you hear what I think I said? Is the girl whose, you know, father pushes or her siblings push her out in front of the drunken father to find out whether or not he's in his mean phase where he's going to beat up on somebody, or he's in his generous, you know, he's brought gifts for all the kids phase. And so having recognized that this young lady, which actually comes from a true story, has been beaten and abused many times by a drunken, abusive father, and she's sitting at home when her spouse comes in and does a behavior that could easily be interpreted as an angry behavior, then to invite her to look at her terror around what she perceives to be angry behavior, and where the world generally looks at problem solving. Oh, you're angry, you're the problem, and of course the problem's always outside. You're the problem, just never come home angry again, would be the average person's first shot at how do we handle that circumstance. Whereas with responsibility communication, the young lady who has terror about angry people is going to own her terror. She's going to be responsible for her terror. She's going to ask for support in healing her terror and start to look at the root of it. In this particular true story case, she touches into this, how many times she's been pushed out by the other kids to test father and been, you know, beaten for it or damaged for it. And so we would recognize that that's probably going to be one of those 77 times 70 worksheet issues for her, and she's not going to be done with it tomorrow. So if her spouse is on the way home and has had a bad day, the problem solving might look like, and this would be part of the personal code of their Pagra. So the problem solving might look like, you know, dear, if you are having one of those bad days, just call me on the phone and let me know you're on your way home and I can ignore everything you're doing. It's not about me. It's just one of your bad days. And then when you come in the house, I don't have to react as I used to react with my father when he was coming in the house and I was forced to be his greeter. So it would, in that sense, be the adding to the personal code of the Pagra. And so each would agree to yield to that particular behavior. So, you know, if he's coming home and he's had a really bad day and might tend to storm in and, you know, be the kind of person that kicks the dog, he's going to notify his wife, hey, it's been really rough. Just please take a deep breath and just ignore everything I'm doing because it's mine and it's about me. It's not about you. So it helps to open the space. And she's going to continue doing her healing work, but she doesn't need the trigger of him coming in and startling her,
right,
as happened with the original scenario.
Right. So that compensation might be temporary until she works through enough of her issues around her father that she would not become triggered. And yet,
yeah, we had an example of that. If you remember, this summer we had a gentleman who was at Heartland who was working with a lot of rage, and remember there was a particular person there who the first time his rage came up went into terror. I think her name was Magda. and the second time it came up, Magda, realizing that she had some terror about his rage, you know, that the rage brought that up in her, and I thought it was just an awesome piece of work that you did, that you worked through that terror, and the next time it came up for him, you were just there as the space. I mean, it was such a powerful demonstration of having done your work around it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I had forgotten that. Thank you for that reminder. That was amazing. And that was because of the support of the group that I was able to work through it at that moment when it happened.
That's the power of the PAGRA.
Yeah, wow.
That's the power of the PAGRA, holding the space and giving us more vitality than we would normally have so that we can handle something like that.
Yeah, that was amazing because the second time it happened, he was standing right behind me so much.
Right over your head.
Yeah, I could feel the vibration of his voice. And I had, you know, just total trust and felt completely safe. And it was the difference. Was having worked through it. Thank you, Michael. Glad that you reminded me of that. And blessings to that wonderful young man in case he's listening, because he was a great helper for me in that situation. As we're...
Yay!
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. I know you have some other people who are waiting, and so I will say... Blessed holidays to you and Happy New Year, and we'll see you on the other end.
All right, dear heart. You guys have an awesome, safe, and wondrous journey in Hawaii. Happy Holy Days, the best New Year yet of your eternal life, and we'll look forward to seeing you when we get back home again.
Absolutely. Okay. Smile to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, blessings. Give Chuck a hug for us.
Yep, he's right here. I'll do that. Blessings back.
Okay, bye-bye. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next call is area code 901.
Hi there, Michael, Jeannie, Dr. Kim. This is Brenda.
Hey there, young lady.
Hi. And I need a lot of that PAGRA.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm having... This is going to be this is seeming to be difficult for me, but I need
happening.
I need to be brave enough to do it, and I'm hoping there's enough energy to support me in this.
You got it. Absolutely.
Okay. There's multiple things going on in my life that
right.
I just don't seem to have any control over. But this is, you know, there's a lot of things that I do, and I committed myself this last week to doing 5 worksheets a day. And, boy, is it bringing stuff up. Anyway, I was much more composed a little earlier. But I wanted to talk about this. My issue today, Michael, was triggered by you yesterday. And I want to preface that when I say what I think happened, that this is entirely my perception, okay?
Right.
And if I don't say exactly right, but I'm have done 9 worksheets so far on this morning, and my rage level...
Sounds like a big one. I didn't know I did anything that important yesterday.
I know, and see, I'm here laughing And yet it's just like the whole top of my head is ready to explode with rage and fear.
Okay.
Well,
I support you in softening your cranium and just letting that energy loose and keeping your head all in one piece and safe.
Okay, thank you. I will. All right. Yesterday we were listening to the program where you and the caller Josh called in.
Right.
And I was sitting here listening to the conversation, and all of a sudden I realized that I was not breathing, that my stomach was in knots, and that my throat was tightened up so I could hardly breathe. The back of my neck was all tight, almost into a paralytic type of thing. And I just went, whoa, what is this about? And so as I was thinking about yesterday and then started to do some worksheets on this, I realized that my perception of what happened was that Josh had called in and had indicated to those of us who were listening that he wanted to express some ideas which he thought maybe might not be exactly acceptable to us or might be a little different from what we had. And then my perception was that he asked permission to go ahead and express those views. And my recollection is that he was given permission to express those views. Well, I remember that I was very anxious to hear what he has to say because, as you know me, Michael, I'm always anxious to hear something new and learn something new. And then what, in my recollection and my perception, happened is that in the middle of him saying something, Michael jumped in and, from my point of view, jumped onto him, became a power person, and cut him off from his communication and voicing his opinion. And so that then triggered for me all of this other stuff. And I realized that I became afraid of you. I sensed fear of you, and I had fear just thinking about making this call today. And I thought, this is crazy.
Wow.
You know, this is crazy. So anyway, I want some help, you know, in kind of sorting through some of the stuff I've come through. Is that my mother and my father, you know, I grew up in boarding school, and I only saw my parents about 3 months a year. But my mother was a frustrated screamer, and my dad acted out a silent frustrator. And so they would argue. And I remember one night I was laying out on the veranda, and they were having their argument, and I had the same feeling that I had yesterday. I remember so clearly it was the same terror, and I wanted to say something, and I couldn't. And finally, I just said, can't you two quit arguing? And my older sister remembers that night. So my mother started crying, and my father came to my bed and knelt down and started praying. And I thought, you need to be listening to her. You know, you need to be not here praying, but listening to somebody. So I realized that I think it triggered that Josh was not getting listened to. And I wanted to hear what he had to say. So then the next thing, on the next sheet, some of the stuff that came up was that I needed to, that he was being ignored. And then with the situation that's going on right now with me and the IRS, I'm feeling like all of these agencies are completely ignoring me and not responding. So I thought, that fits into it. And then there was a feeling of not feeling safe. You know, a feeling that perceiving you as this power person which could shut somebody down anytime they wanted to. And so then that resonated. And then the next thing that resonated was that I needed to rescue Josh. So that's where I'm at. And I, you know, my level, you know, I'm laughing, but I'm feeling fear and rage and all of, you know, I can't even separate out what I'm feeling as I'm doing this.
Are you breathing?
I am breathing.
Yeah, good.
As I'm
cool.
doing this, I just get more mad each time. I get just, and yet when I get to the end, I have this, like, I put down this, I wrote this one in my picture. I put rage with a smiley face under it. So it's like I'm bouncing off the walls all over the place and trying to, it's like there's something that's not breaking through. But anyway, that's where I'm on the worksheets and such. So whatever help you can give me, I'm open to, because this needs to be released.
Cool. Well, it sounds to me like the whole event triggered a major trauma for you, as you've shared. And I wonder if, and at the same time, you've got the presence, because of all the work you've been doing over the years, you've got the presence of being to hold a space for yourself. And still, carbon-based memories coming up with this old painful reality. So the starting point, I would suggest, would be to look at, have you canceled the goal for Dad to go listen to Mom?
Yes.
Okay. So you let go of that one. And then,
right.
Did I understand you to say that Mom ignored Dad?
No. My father would ignore my mother. Sometimes he wouldn't talk to her for, you know, weeks at a time, or he'd go off in the bush and do whatever and such like that. And when she would to communicate, I don't know, for whatever reason, he was this, like, the silent frustrator, and she was the one who got so frustrated, then she started doing the screaming. And so I grew up with feeling, because I don't feel that right. Well, no, I feel love for her right now. And I went to that space before she passed on. But when I was young, I just hated her. And I said, if one of my parents was going to have to die, that she be the one, not my father. And yet I realized that in feeling like I had to rescue my father from the screaming, not understanding what his work was, then my relationship with him felt very painful, and so I identified that pain with love. And as you know, it took me a long time into my adulthood to realize that hurt and pain and love do not, you know, are not the same thing.
They don't mix.
Right. So there, and you asked me if I released his need to listen to my mother. I marked it on the sheet, but, you know, the question is, have I really released it yet or not? And we'll do more worksheets. But I thought that, you know, just the main thing was to bring it up to you, because I was seeing you as a power person.
Right.
And
okay.
That seems to be releasing. So go ahead.
Good. So rather than jumping to that, because I think that would be problem solving, and we will get to that, but it's awesome questions, right on track. If you look back in that experience where Mom is raging and Dad is cutting her off and not listening, so that would be one goal for him to listen. But what was the goal you had for Mom? And this is probably what you're bouncing between. Have you looked at the goal you had for Mom in that circumstance?
No, I haven't, I have not looked at what the goal I had for Mom. The one time I felt a lot of pain for my father, I never felt pain between me and my mother. And I remember one time when she was teaching me the Lord's
prayer that I remember that very clearly, and that's the only really loving connection that I remember. But all of my emotion and hurt and pain was with my father, who I quote-unquote loved. And
right.
yet my mother that I hated didn't create that. It was a rescuing him, I think, was how I felt. So I have
right.
no idea what my goal for her was.
So I was rescuing him from her. Clearly, if there's something that I could have said to her that would have changed the dynamic, that would be my goal. So
okay.
what, in that circumstance, think about that day. The whole scene is just unfolded. There's all this trauma going on inside of you. If you could, out of a mind of love, turn to Mom and say, Mom, would you please, what would your request be?
I would have said my first worksheet that I wanted to say to you from yesterday was shut the F up.
Ooh, okay. Well, you notice that one doesn't exactly come from love.
No, it doesn't.
So my question was, with Mom, that scenario's just happened, from a space
okay.
of love, if you turn to Mom and
okay.
had a request for her, what would your request be?
I have no idea.
Okay. There's your piece of work.
There's where my work is, huh?
Yeah, that's it. And it sounds like probably it would look like, Mom, would you please treat and speak to Dad lovingly, gently, and respectfully? And notice how hard it is for your mind to even go there. There's so much pain and unconsciousness around it.
Right.
And you cover that pain and unconsciousness with hostility. Shut the F up.
Right.
So notice that hostility distorts everything.
Right, it does.
To the point where I can't even fathom what I'd want from Mom.
Right. And yet when you said that, it was like, of course. Of course that's what
course.
I would do. Of course. That would be the thing. Okay, so
the consciousness of your hostility, you couldn't even conceive of it, even though it's so obvious.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that's what happens.
So are we saying then that what was triggered yesterday was maybe about my perceiving her as a power person over him?
Well,
being afraid
in that case,
of that feeling?
Well, let's ask another question.
Okay.
You know, it tends to be that we have several different power persons.
Okay.
And the power person, way you determine who your primary power person is when the stress is up and the chips are down, whose behavior do you do? So, when the stress is up and the chips are down, if you look at the overview of your life, did you ever scream and rage?
Oh, yeah. It would be my mother.
The mom's your power person when that's going on.
Right.
And notice the projection on Dad, that Dad is the silent frustrator, as though Mom being frustrated is Dad's fault. And notice that denial. Dad's
right.
the frustrator. Dad's not the frustrator. Dad's Dad. Mom's frustrated. That's the internal dynamic for Mom. How often has that type of frustration come up for you?
Very often. And what I would do is I would role-play my father's silent stuffing or just communicating until it came to the point where I would then take over my mother's role as the screamer.
So I'd start working with, and this is very possibly going to be your 77 times 70 worksheet issue, and that is I'd start looking at not just that one goal for Mom, for her to speak to Dad lovingly, gently, respectfully, but there's probably a whole range of goals as you start going to the unconsciousness around it that will open for you. And there'll probably be goals like, I want mom to treat me lovingly, gently, respectfully. I want mom to use a gentle voice. I want mom to be responsible for her own upset. That may not have been a conscious goal, but it was probably one that was operating. So they'd be some of the examples of worksheets that you might do around what was triggered by yesterday's show.
Well, good. That puts me in a direction, because I've done these 9 on yesterday specifically. So now I see my goals for my mother, and then also then goals for my father.
Right, and that's the Hydra effect that I was just talking about with Magda. You know that, and you might want to just give a listen to that show. If you go to the website and click on the bullseye, then the third link links to a whole series of radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. And so, the second link is that show with Magda. And it's a perfect example of the Hydra. And basically what you touched into is a Hydra-type worksheet. I work with what happened yesterday, but the real unconsciousness is around what happened when I was whatever age that was, 5 or whatever it was. That's where the real unconsciousness is, and that's where the real work is.
Cool.
So doing worksheets around yesterday will start to open the space. But where the real work is in processing your fear, your pain, your trauma around that type of interaction with mom and dad.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. I feel so much better, and I'm breathing.
Hey, there you go. All right. You know, it's interesting how we can get triggered. Actually, we had a woman at Heartland several years ago that used to call the worksheets trigger sheets, and that's what they're about. Is what's triggered.
And tears are God's analytical instruction.
Go ahead, say again.
I said tears are God's antidepressant.
There you go. Yeah, it actually literally cleans out toxicity from the system.
And breathing
is God's healer.
That's true. Well, thank you, because this, you know, it was like, okay, I've done 9 of these sheets here, and I'm not, what direction do I go? So this will be really good also. Working on these.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thank you, everyone who was listening and saw my, you know, and supported me with their breathing.
Well, we're not finished yet.
Well, we're not.
Another piece. Yeah, there's another piece that I'd like to address, and that is yesterday. And you'll notice that oftentimes on the show, and you've been at intensives before, I'll interrupt people mid-sentence. I do it very consciously and very purposely. And I do it because, and this ties in with the question that Magda brought up about responsibility communication. Our words instruct our minds how to build our realities. So my commitment with myself to the best of my ability is to keep my words on track with truth. And when I'm processing with somebody and want to go past a place where they've fallen out of harmony in their language with the truth, then what happens is the mind, if I use some sort of a false idea, my mind builds on that false idea, and I come to conclusions, you know, 2 hours or 2 days or 2 years or 20 years later, based on that false premise, and the conclusion looks solid and factual and real, unless I go back and address the original error. And so the reason why I'll oftentimes interrupt people in an intensive, and sometimes I've had people who've had a lot of stuff come, it's like, well, just let me speak. Why don't you just shut up and let me say what I want to say? It's because if you use language that isn't true and accurate, then your reality can't be true and accurate. So I'm committed to supporting people in true and accurate language so they get true and accurate realities. And so when you'll notice, if you go back and listen to the show again, that when there was something that was language that was out of harmony with the principles, I'm happy for anybody to share what they need to share. But if it's out of harmony with the principles, I'm going to stop and I'm going to inject the principle, because our purpose here is to teach. Principle is to teach and stay on track. So I'm really not the least bit interested in providing a platform. I've seen people, for instance, who start support groups, and they'll get a support group going. In fact, you'll see some writing about this in the information on support groups. And that is, there'll be people who cannot gather their own audience who will come to your support group and be just delighted that you put together a group of people who will listen to them.
Mm.
So you get somebody who's into UFOs, and you've got a group together to work with forgiveness, and all of a sudden they're off on the rabbit trail of UFOs. So for that person in the support group, I would stop them and say, you know, that's really interesting, that UFO topic. I think you should go and start a support group for it. When somebody starts to expound principles that are ideas that are not in harmony with what we're teaching, I'm going to stop and I'm going to inject what we're teaching, so that, one, we're creating a space where people can start to see everything in terms of principles, and two, I'm really not interested in creating a platform for somebody else to expound something that isn't in harmony with what we're teaching. I'm willing to hear it, but I'm also willing to be the moderator of the show that says, well, you know, that's an interesting idea, but here's where the error is. So that we all get to hear, there's where the error in thought is. Click, I got it. Because what happens is, when we work from, and I really appreciated Rex's thoughts when he called into the show and was able to point out how the language was about helplessness and hopelessness. And when somebody's in helplessness and hopeless, you know, that situation was just totally hopeless. I'm going to stop that person who says that. Right at the end of that sentence, I'm going to say, well, wait a minute, now let's stop. Notice that the situation's just the situation. It's not hopeless, but you're feeling hopeless at this moment. So if you're feeling, or pardon me, actually your thought is that it's hopeless. And so if your thinking is that it's hopeless, what's your feeling? Well, my feeling's rage. Okay, so notice that when you go into hopelessness, there's rage. So now, would you like to forgive your rage? Would you like to forgive hopelessness and recognize that when you bring the mind of love to that situation that your mind tells you is hopeless, then you're empowered to heal. And so I'm here to inject principles. I'm not here to create a platform for somebody to expound something that's out of harmony with principles. And I have observed many times over the years that when I do that, there are people who that brings offense up in them, such as it did with you. And I really appreciate the fact that you came into it with responsibility communication. You owned what was up for you and went for it and were willing to move into it. There's no better demonstration of the principles than what just happened in this conversation. I think it's awesome. It's a gift for everybody.
You just brought up one other thing for me to work on worksheets on, is, you know, with an issue of thinking that somebody's not listening to me or is ignoring me, the question is my communication from a space of truth and love?
Yes, yes.
And mainly from truth, and especially applying to the subject at hand. So that will be another set of worksheets. I'll work on that, what we see in others, we are doing ourselves. So
right.
I will.
And so I cancel my need for others to listen to me. I cancel my need for others to hear me. Are two powerful pieces of work to do. And oftentimes go back to that power person dynamic where the power person was so busy into what they were doing, there was no time for listening or hearing. So it teases right back into those early, you know, 99.9% of the work that most people need to do is around their power person dynamic.
Right. And right now I'm perceiving myself surrounded with power persons.
so I'm focusing
on that issue right now. So thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it. I love you. And thank you for being safe with me.
Well, I was honored to be the trigger for your power person issue. yesterday in that conversation and right on track. And I would suggest that having completed this conversation now, maybe do a few worksheets, and then I go back and listen to the show again yesterday and see what
okay.
the next layer is that's going to come up from that situation and what it triggers in you. And maybe call us back and share that with us.
Okay, that will be interesting. It may be a few days. And tomorrow I'm going to call in ask the question I was going to ask last week, but we'll do that. Save that one for tomorrow.
Okay, awesome. I appreciate the integrity of your work. And, you know, gee, I'm not even sure what's been 20 years that you've been doing this work that I've known you, and I just appreciate the commitment you have and how you just keep moving from layer to layer to layer and facing everything in your world and choosing to keep moving to love. It's awesome.
Thank you.
It's a privilege.
And it's been a few years since I've had, you know, this, you know, that I've been in this state. So this is
well, and what that says to me is that there's probably a very good chance that you've reached a whole new level of vitality. And reaching a new level of vitality means that you can now reach into a depth of healing that you weren't able to do previously. And that's always very powerful.
Can it be also a desperation, a level of desperation? It kind of kicks you in.
Well, you know, when I get tired and sick of being sick and tired, the veil starts to open.
That's it. All right, Michael, thank you so much. Thank you, Jeannie and Dr. Kim, for listening and everyone else for your internal support. You have a good
All right,
day.
Blessings. And Jeannie or Dr. Kim, do you have any other input for Brenda?
No, just congratulations and thank you for being willing to call in and face it.
Thank you.
Dr. Kim, any thoughts, Dan?
Well, I would just echo the gratitude that you made the call and you were willing to start with the statement, I know this is all my issue, and that created a space for Michael to be able to listen more easily without being defensive, and then to just model for me that willingness to go through the process again. And every time I see it, I learn a little bit more. So you have my gratitude.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, Jeannie, you've got some other callers for us, I think.
Well, they're actually not, they don't have their hand up right at the moment, but it's someone that we spoke to prior to the show, and they said they were going to call in. So I'm going to turn them on and assume that they're still willing to talk. So area code 985, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, 985. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pahrump, Nevada.
All
the
right.
The home of Dr. Stephen Andraki. I'm just so excited about my life, and I wanted to call and to say thank you to them and to you and your wonderful book and teachings, and I wanted to give you a little information. I had a 10-year addiction to prescription pain medication. And I was using about five times the prescribed amount. Unable to quit it. And I prayed a lot about it. And on July 8th, 2 days after my fervent prayers, I found Dr. Andraki. And he spent a lot of his time in helping me to adapt. And he led me to you and your book. I started his detox program on Suboxone. Started going to the two-weekly meetings, and I ordered your book, started reading, doing worksheets, etc. Within 4 months, Dr. Rice, I feel like I am so free of the issues that caused the pain. A lot of the pain was mental, which I always thought was physical. And I've just learned the techniques through the worksheets and the readings and listening to your talk shows, and now it's almost like a natural thing. The worksheets are helpful, but it's almost like after you do them so long, you can almost figure it out in your head. And going back into where all the pain and all this from your childhood, et cetera, and the going back and healing all that and forgiving that and sorting it all out, I feel like a new person.
That's awesome.
It's just healed my life. my marriage, my family issues, and I'm going to Dr. Andraki's class tomorrow night, that I wanted to call the show and say thank you. And I will continue to listen and learn because there's so much more. And I'll let you say something,
well, thank,
then I have a question.
Well, thank you for saying thank you. And you are so blessed to have Dr. Andraki out there. He and Claudia are just doing some awesome
Claudia
work
too.
With people. You know, when I see a medical doctor that writes prescriptions for people to do worksheets, you know, you're in front of a real healer, and that's just so powerful.
Amen.
And so we're a long ways away from him right now. So when you get there tomorrow, if you give them both a physical hug from both of us, that would be awesome.
I will. Oh, yes, I will. I was listening to your show, and I didn't understand what the meaning was, but now I really caught it. It opened something up to me. The word positive?
Right.
That's awesome, because it's something that I have been standing on that scripture that you spoke about, the Pagra, about when two or more are gathered
yes.
in his name, that he is in the midst of us, that Yeshua
yes.
is in the midst of us. And it's just so confirmed, you know, everything that I've been going through, and this healing, this constant healing in my mind and my life is because of that. And it's just amazed me.
Yes.
Just opened that up to me. My question would be, Dr. Rice, I still have physical pain. And I know that,
uh-huh.
you know, the anger, fear, sadness, pain, or hurts, you know, that sort of stuff. Pain. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing the doctor today about that physical pain, you know, because I have
right.
a lot of physical issues. I don't want to go back to narcotics for that.
What do you want to do?
Is that physical pain something that I work on too that will go away eventually?
Well, my first question would be that notice, you know, one of the things that what we call the non-being mind is expertise at is what it doesn't want. And notice you spoke about what you didn't want. I don't want to go back there. As a creator, the most important thing you can do, and unfortunately our time is just about out, so I'm going to have to close the show up, but I'd love to continue the conversation tomorrow if you'd do us a favor of calling back in. But when you look clearly at what you do want, as opposed to I don't want to go back there, what do you really want to do? And what I'll do is I'll just leave that question with you to ponder and get really clear on what you do want to do. And if you have the space, then I'd appreciate you calling back in the show tomorrow, and we'll pick up from there and look at that goal and see how we can support you going to the next level. And yes,
oh,
I've seen
you.
People in excruciating physical pain who 10 minutes later have no physical pain. Yes, I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
okay.
energy. When you realize there's no physical, it's all energy. Then everything
yes.
begins to change. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to close it out, so I'll just say thank you for your call. Thank you for your acknowledgement. And everybody, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Come see us at Unity here in Panama City. And have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's a great gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings and love to you.
All right.